God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
The God of the universe creates... The universe created the world. He didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. So let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to Disciples View. You may have seen the breaking news that President Trump has agreed to debate figurehead Biden twice. What I'm about to say is not a joke. I'm not trying to be clever. The president's team, President Trump's team, should demand that Joe Biden take a drug test. Because, in my judgment, he's drugged for these events. In my judgment, I ain't no doctor. But there are doctors who've looked at his behavior and said, this man is absolutely drugged. Probably blood-packed. That's to put an extra pint of blood into your body. Gives you alertness and some stamina, and it's elder abuse. Now, of course, that would mean that President Trump would need to take a drug test. And there's been liberal sites and publications that have suggested that he's on Adderall or something. They've also said, oh, cocaine. And I believe it was, though, the Biden White House where cocaine was found, but darn the luck, they couldn't figure out who brought it in. Darn the luck. It's too bad they don't have surveillance cameras or something there protecting the place. Be interesting to see the debates, I guess, in a way. They're so scripted. There's a committee on debates, and they get together and talk about the things that will be discussed and not discussed. Now, one of the things I love about President Trump is that he doesn't necessarily obey those things. I think there's a whole series of questions that he should be asking figurehead Biden, and I'm sure his team is prepping him on that. You heard as well the January 6th news just now in the top of the hour that they're increasing arrests for people who strolled into the Capitol, took a picture here or there. Well, there is an interesting alignment with what I'd intended to speak with you about today. It was inspired by Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. In that case, the me being Jesus, the Lord Jesus speaking here. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So two verses from one chapter, Matthew 5. I'm going to apply them a little differently here. I want to start with a statement about the sexual left. That's a phrase I use to describe political commercial entities joined together, you know, fascism-like, to use the bodies of young people for financial gain and political power. It's really, you could call it sexual fascism is a way to look at this. And the sexual left will stomach absolutely no regret from their victims. You know, supposedly brave and stunning young people who got conned into sexually and chemically and mutilating themselves are instant enemies when they later express regret. Kaya Jones is former singer for the Pussycat Dolls. She's now suddenly an enemy for sharing her story of abortion regret.
I get messages, oh, you don't know what women go through and you don't know what the situation is. And how dare you try to take women's rights away? And I always say I'm not trying to take any woman's rights away. If I could genuinely say what I would hope for is that women would hear my testimony and choose differently. It's not about trying to change or take your rights away, because I do think, just like myself, you do need to make choices in life. I was given those opportunities to make those choices. I deeply regret them. So when I speak on this issue, I try to speak as genuinely as possible from my heart, because I understand the pain that some of these women are going through, or the anger. And so when I see people speaking about being pro-life, especially those who haven't had abortion, I'm always just like, be kind, because you're gonna miss an opportunity to really connect with this mother. I hope that young women can hear my story and say, maybe there is a better way, and look into the organizations that are helping with, you know, whether it's diapers or assistance or financial aid. There are ways to make it work, and I wish I had known. I wish I wasn't so fearful.
That's from Fox News, and appreciate that. And yeah, speaking truth wrapped in kindness, that's how the Lord Jesus did it. Most often, one or two times, the Lord expressed anger openly. But he spoke truth wrapped in grace. So I'm thinking again about Matthew, and I'm thinking about, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, I don't know for sure that Kaia Jones, from whom you just listened to her, she'd been with the Pussycat Dolls, a band. I don't know that she is acting upon a Christian faith. I do know that the Lord smiles when children's lives are saved. And I do know that the Lord makes a habit of calling people like her to himself. So if she's being persecuted in this way, well, then that's to her credit. Persecution. The figurehead Biden's team, is persecuting anybody who dared to walk on the Capitol, even if they were just there taking a selfie. But they're not going after other people. There's a U.S. district judge named Colleen Kolar Cottley. Has sentenced a pro-life activist on Tuesday to 57 months in prison and 3 years supervision for her participation in a peaceful pro-life protest at one of the city's most controversial abortion facilities. She's going to spend, 57 months in prison. Laurel Handy is her name. She's 30. One of several members of the Progressive Anti-Abortion Uprising, a leftist organization, that apparently has adopted a pro-life position. And she initiated a rescue and protest at a late-term abortionist Cesar Santangelo's office. They also found, and this is very disturbing, they found the bodies of preemies, babies that probably could have survived. And they'd been tossed out. Way, way, way disturbing, as I said. So 57 months in prison. Just across town in Washington, D.C., a different judge had a different decision. There was a teen who decided to take an AR-15, or at least an AR-15-style rifle, and go shoot 26 rounds from this gun in downtown Washington, D.C. And a judge named Lloyd Nolan Jr., decided to let this guy, Amante Moody, go free. Well, there's some reasons for this. In Washington, D.C., GPS monitoring devices they would put on a guy like this, they don't do that. Why? Because the people who monitor those pretrial service agency that monitors those GPS devices, they only monitor them during normal business hours. 9 to 5. After that, you can do whatever you want. So using this as an excuse, well, we're not going to put a GPS monitor on him. After all, it's only good for 9 to 5. They let him out. But understand this, the judge gave him a talking to. He sat him down and he gave him a talking to. That's not good. Don't go shooting a gun at people 26 rounds in downtown Washington, D.C. Please don't do that anymore. There's going to be serious consequences next time, young man. You can go this time. You can go home this time, but not next time. Maybe that'll work. Meanwhile, in that same city, people who simply protested an abortion clinic will be getting 57 months in prison and 3 years supervision. A grandma, 71 years of age, who decided to go inside the Capitol where she was welcomed. The doors were open. Everyone else was going in. She went in and took a selfie and prayed. She's in prison right now. The figurehead, Biden, We're told he's running things. I don't believe that. But I do believe he's broken. We're all broken. It's interesting. I just caught myself. You know what I was thinking? I'll tell you. I was just thinking I'm better than Joe Biden. Wow. That's human pride. I'm broken in different ways. But honestly, you guys, I literally just thought, thank God I'm not Joe Biden. Thank God I'm not broken like that. I think the Lord could give me a sit down and a talking to say, you're broken in the following ways. You're disappointing me in the following ways. I love you. I love Joe Biden too. You're no better. You're different. Now, I do think this. I do not think that Joe Biden has any sign of walking with the Lord at all. But there are people who disagree. With due respect to Cardinal Gregory of Washington, D.C., Joe Biden might be sincere in his faith, but I see no sign at all that Joe Biden is sincere about the Christian faith.
In the case of the president, do you get a sense that his regular attendance and adherence to the faith resonates with American Catholics?
I would say that he's very sincere about his faith, but like a number of Catholics, he picks and chooses dimensions of the faith to highlight while ignoring or even contradicting other parts. There is a phrase that we have used in the past, a cafeteria Catholic. You choose that which is attractive and dismiss that which is challenging.
Or, as Thomas Aquinas would say, you allow your conscience to guide you.
Is there something on the menu he's not ordering, in your view,
so to speak? I would say there are things, especially in terms of the life issues, there are things that he chooses to ignore, or he uses the current situation as a political pawn rather than saying, look, my church believes this.
That's from Face the Nation. The faith that he's supposedly sincere about is what? If you observe a man's calendar, you can observe his priorities. You observe his budget. You can observe his priorities. It's better to say observe the budget, you observe the priorities, observe the calendar, observe the activities. How serious are you about your priorities? What do you do? What do you spend your time with? If I'm observing the figurehead's budget, there's nothing in it that's godly. Nothing. Funding both sides of the war between Iran and Hamas is not godly. Worming your way around the Supreme Court's ruling that the federal government is out of the abortion business is not godly. Chemically and surgically mutilating kids is not godly. Promoting abortion even past the point of birth is not godly. Allowing the nation's laws to become an obvious anachronism that people don't follow, that is, if they're illegal immigrants, is not godly. There's nothing godly in regard to Joe Biden to observe. He has a faith, for sure. But then again, everybody hearing this is making a disciple of something. All of us make disciples. If you have any influence over anybody, you're making a disciple of something. But the question is it making disciples of what matters? And that would be disciples of the Lord Jesus. When we continue, the figurehead is not alone in using the mechanisms of power to attack Christians. We'll continue to talk about this in relation to Matthew 5, verses 11 through 13. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. So I'm ruminating this morning on the ways in which we're going to face accusations and abuse, often merely rhetorical abuse rather than physical. And when we're to face that and to understand it's a blessing, if it's because of our adherence to our decision to walk with the Lord Jesus. And incidentally, if you've not made that decision yet, as we go through the news of the day, just please tell me if there's an easier pass-fail test, God's way or the way of the world, God's way that is order, that is lawfulness, that is love-based, versus a world that is chaotic, lawless, and based in, I want, so I'll go get. Which way do you want to go? Now, the question is not which way do you want to go, but which way do you want to stay? Because you are an eternal being. There is no such thing as ending. Death ends nothing. It simply sends you towards a destination forever. Remember Alice Cooper, rock star of old, I'm 18 and I like it. You probably know that he's the son of a minister. I don't know if you know that he's come back to the Lord Jesus and has been there for some time. He talked about his faith in Christ. He said, a lot of people say, I came to Christ because of my love for Jesus. I came to Christ because of my fear of God. I totally understood that hell was not getting high with Jim Morrison of the Doors. Hell was to be the worst place ever. In fear, I came back to the Lord. I knew who Jesus was, and I knew that I'd been living my life without him. I knew there had to come to a point where I either accepted Christ and started living that life, or if I died, I was in a lot of trouble. And that's just what really motivated me. Just got to a point where I said, I'm tired of living this way. I'll tell you one thing. When Jesus opens your eyes and you finally realize who you are and who he is, it's a whole different world. So Alice Cooper, praise God, has made that decision. If you look at the news of the day and you begin to separate news against the Word of God, you begin to take all spirits captive to Christ. You begin to observe the news through lenses like the fruit of the Spirit versus the desires of the flesh. Things become quite clear. The effort to shut people up is ungodly. How could I say that? Because God is pro-free speech. How could I say that? Because I'm speaking. Because the Bible is filled with people speaking back to God, questioning him. Why are you doing this? When will it stop? Why have you turned your face from me? And God could shut that down anytime he wanted to. He doesn't. He exacts consequences, or rather, he lets you exact them upon yourself. The associate's editor of the Media Research Center, Joseph Vasquez, has reported that George Soros has paid $80 million to at least 45 of the signatories of a 200 civil society organizations that are demanding that the nation's media organizations and big tech do more to protect people from the real world harm of disinformation. And they've created a group called Free Press. That's the name of the group, Free Press. And Free Press's job is apparently to go pressure media organizations to not let us ask very simple questions like, if this is the safest, most secure election in history, why aren't the very simple safeguards of safe elections employed? Oh, like checking ID. Oh, that's disinformation. Is there an easier pass-fail test? A group that's lie is in its name. Free Press, with $80 million from a guy who said America should be taken down a few notches, versus God's example that he'll listen to all speech. He doesn't need to respond to it. He's God. He doesn't need to negotiate with us. But he listens when he could just cancel. There is a clear bias from figurehead Biden, and we just heard the Cardinal in the last segment, Cardinal in Washington, D.C., Cardinal Gregory, say that Joe Biden's very sincere about his faith. And the Cardinal was careful to say, but he's a cafeteria Catholic, picking and choosing that of the Catholic faith he likes and doesn't. I would say this, as fellow Christians, I would say that being a Christian first and a Catholic second is probably the way to go, but then again, I'm not Catholic. But I don't know any Catholic who disagrees with that. There's nothing in the figurehead's record or performance, anything he does, that indicates that his faith is in anything other than political process and graft. Nothing. Find it for me. For example, there's a lot of questions about the figurehead's team, the people who run him, deciding to go target one of the country's largest Christian universities. Why indeed are you doing that when you look around the college campuses today and you see not sort of anti-Semitism, not stuff that could come off as anti-Semitism, not things that are questionable in regards to what they're saying about Jewish people, but you see campuses where a Jewish man is hit in the head with an umbrella for simply walking on campus and called dirty Jew? But yes, they're going after Christian universities, the people who run Joe Biden. And Republican lawmakers, and this is from Fox News, have called for the Department of Education, its Office of Inspector General, to review the Biden administration's conduct against the nation's largest Christian university. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona basically comes out fairly early, publicly indicated that he was going to shut down Grand Canyon University and go in that way. There was Congressman Rosa DeLauro calling it a predatory school, which it is not. Representative Andy Briggs from Arizona told Fox Digital, they're trying to go after them for allegations which have not really been substantiated yet. So it's changed to be a real problem, and it seems to be biased. Of course it's biased. The people who run Joe Biden don't want speech. They do not want thinkers. They don't want faith-based thinkers. This is so vital to understand something that's happening at a meta level. Really vital. There is a mass replacement of thinkers with non-thinkers, of faith-based people with fake faith. It's across the board. It's mechanical. You can take it from the level of colleges. That's been done now for decades, replacing educators with people who are there to indoctrinate, thinkers and explorers and curious minds, with people programmed to teach hatred and division. That's happened. It's happening in other areas. So again, back to Matthew. Salt of the earth. This is the second verse we've been talking about from Matthew 5, verses 11 through 13. The first is about facing persecution because of our faith in the Lord Jesus. The second, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it ever be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. When organizations and institutions lose their, quote, saltiness, can they be made salty again? I don't think so. I happen to think it's God's design that he's going to let these organizations continue to rot because it's an easy pass-fail test. It's easy for us to go, okay, that's the way of the world. You're attacking Christian universities while you allow federal funding to go to universities where Jewish students are spat upon. They're refused placement in campuses. They're told you don't get to go into this particular area of this government-funded facility because it's been seized by Hamas supporters. But yes, they're going to shut down Christian universities and attack them. See, it's an easy pass-fail test. The Christian university is being persecuted. The organizations have lost their saltiness, but what about us? What about us? When we face persecution, how often do you thank God? I don't. No, I really don't. I'm just admitting it. I've been so blessed with my podcast and this radio show and other media properties. I've been so blessed. And just this morning, I was thinking, I never really do just get down on my knees and thank God for these blessings. But worse than that, I don't know that I've ever really thanked him for the persecution that I did get. I don't think I did. In the old local radio days, it wasn't persecution, it was a demand that I lie. They said, you have to lie. You don't get to say the election was rigged or stolen. You don't get to do these sort of questions about the public health authorities. You don't get to say that Joe Biden has dementia. There's the things you don't get to say. So they were telling me to lie. I don't remember getting on my knees and saying, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm being persecuted for you. I don't remember that because I didn't do it. If you're looking at Christians being persecuted, we can put them up in prayer, lift them up in prayer, ask for the Holy Spirit to guide them, ask for the armor of God. But have you thanked God for persecution of Christians? Isn't that weird? Why would we do that? Well, because we go back to the Lord's work. We go back to his word. We go back to Matthew. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets before you. Father God, thank you for making clear that we're in an era where Christian belief is to be persecuted, where Christian action is to be persecuted. Thank you that we are becoming more like you. The world hated you first. Now it hates us. And thank you for reminding us. You tell us to be the salt of the world, to never lose our saltiness. So what is our saltiness? Dare I say it's our faith? Dare I say it's our Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit within us, the kingdom of heaven within us? Dare I say that's the source of our saltiness? So of course, figurehead Biden, who's very serious about some faith, I think it's faith in grift and lies, of course he's going to persecute us and other Christians, because this is to be. And these are the times through which we live. There's an entire organization within the FBI called PatCon, and it is about persecuting patriots and Christians. That's how they're using it. It was once called CounterPLOW. It stands for Counterintelligence Program, and it was used in the 50s and 60s to go infiltrate groups, Martin Luther King's groups, and to set groups against each other. It's been used against groups that we identify as terrorists internationally. It's been used to infiltrate them, to start wars between them, you know, internal wars, arguments over leadership. It's also being used against Christian groups. Infiltration. Why? Well, because if you want to keep control of a country, one of the things you do is you make sure that that country is divided. Rutgers University wrote about use of techniques like this in this PatCon program. Since September 11, 2001, the U.S. government, as well as police departments across the United States, most notably the New York City Police Department, have been collecting intelligence regarding Muslim American communities. The controversial surveillance practices include the use of confidential informants, undercover operations, and entrapment in infringing upon civil rights and civil liberties in the name of national security. A decade before 9/11, however, the FBI conducted the same practices against a completely different demographic, Christian right militants, through a program called PatCon, short for Patriot Conspiracy Building. Building upon the concept of surveillance as social sorting and surveillance and terrorism, this article compares the histories of surveillance practices undertaken by the FBI on American Christian right militants with the tactic used by NYPD on non-militant Muslim Americans. Now, by the way, when Rutgers University is using the phrase Christian militants, I doubt they actually mean militant. I think that they probably mean, in their eyes, extremists. So this has been wedded into our government at the top for decades. It's not just a figurehead. That should tell us something. In this easiest to fail, or probably easiest to succeed, pass-fail test in history, the way of hubris and greed and power for power's sake, lawlessness, or the way of order and love. And it's an eternal decision. Here's another obvious one. The Lord Jesus said, in the body of Christ, there's neither Greek nor Jew, servant nor master. He wants to view us as one family. Well, he doesn't want to, he does. And as we rejoin the family of Christ, we get that opportunity to be treated by him as one family. That is not the way of the government these days. There's a $2.3 billion job in New York. $2.3 billion working on an airport. But some people do not need to apply for that, namely white people. Here's the Port Authority people bragging about their racism.
What we didn't want to happen is to go back to the community, and Jim, you know this, and people look at us and say, well, what did you do? No one on that project looks like us. No one in that project represents us. We did not want to have those conversations, and that's why those tireless meetings that took place on Zoom, it was Microsoft, WebEx, or whatever it was, and it wasn't working, and your bandwidth, and you had to turn off the camera or turn off the mic. As annoying as it was, we knew it was for us, by us, to make sure that this community that we represent looks like us.
So the decision to make sure that that $2.3 billion goes to people who look like her, easiest pass-fail tests in history, that's coveting, that's theft, that's lawlessness, that is violating how God wants to view us, neither servant nor Jew, Greek nor master. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We've been today really just centered on one part of the Bible, just two verses from Matthew 5, verses 11 through 13. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. I would suggest that part of our saltiness, if you will, is our adherence to the Holy Spirit, our faith. And it's clear that we're in a time where Christians are being persecuted, and it will continue. Less here, well, it's happening here, but in China, it's far worse. In the Middle East, it's far worse. And fascinating. Man, I am still just so thankful to God for what he's doing in those countries, that the faith survives. It is so faith-affirming. They can't destroy God's word any more than they can destroy God himself, and though they try. Now, not everyone's a Christian, we know that. But I do believe God is providing this easy pass-fail test for everybody, particularly for us, to be able to say to the world and to employ our saltiness, do you see the hatred? That's what Jesus faced. It is. By many, that's what he faced. Do you see the hatred on the college campuses? I'll tell you as we wrap up the show a funny story about working in Seattle, a pretty godless place. Walking into a place I was working one day and having a woman say to me, just start to complaining about Christians and how she hated them. She had good reason to be upset that day, by the way, about Christians. Well, about some. I'll tell you about that in a second. See, not everybody is a Christian, and yet the pass-fail test is right in front of everybody. You know about the college protests, the riots, the banning of Jewish people from campuses. Duke invited a speaker to graduation, and pro-Hamas graduates walked out. The speaker's name? Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry is also serving as our commencement speaker today. So, what's the big deal about our commencement speaker?
Why are they booing him? Is it because he's Jewish? Yes. Have they given that thought? I can't imagine they have. Because some simple thought would have you ask simple questions like, when did Israel start? Do they really have a claim to that land? How would you determine that? We could go to the ultimate history book, the Bible, but then again, college students are told that's just a collection of myths written by old white men, many of whom were dark-skinned and young when they wrote it. So you can't go there, except you can go to the archaeology of biblical times. And you can go back thousands and thousands of years and go, oh, wait, so there was a tribe of Israel? Well, no, there were 12. Or 12 tribes of Israeli people. When did they start? Well, with Adam and Eve. And later there were branching of the tribes. They could do that, but that would require a slowing down. And this generation has been taught, never slow down. Just continue to consume things that feel like information, like fast food feels like food. Yeah, I mean, it goes into your body, sure. It might provide you some energy. It's not sustenance. It's certainly not nutrition. It's not muscle building. It's none of that. It's just boom, boom, and out. And so it is with what passes as information to these kids, because really what they're consuming is feelings. And how interesting is it that one group can come along and say, hey, we hate these people. Will you hate them for us? And college kids go, yeah, we'll hate them for you. The pass-fail test? Us as disciple makers can point to this and say, did you know that our Lord Jesus faced very similar things? Sure, there were followers, or our faith wouldn't have taken off. But do you know that he faced this? Do you know that he was taken and beaten and had his back opened up with scourging in all likelihood and was put up on a torture device called a cross because of that same hatred? Not necessarily because he was Jewish. In fact, it was the Jewish authorities at the time who ultimately orchestrated that. But the hatred of what? His love? His acting compassionately towards others? The miraculous works? Exactly what was the hatred? Well, it varies, I'm sure, but I think part of it was the Jewish technocratic authorities were saying, wait a minute. If the people believe in him, they'll stop believing in us. We'll lose power. It's a very old story. So I'm sure, as we heard in the first segment, the cardinal in Washington, D.C. says figurehead Biden is sincere about his faith. I think he is sincere about his faith. I just don't know what his faith is in. I can guess, grifting and lying. But is there something even worse that he has faith in and he doesn't know it? Wouldn't surprise me. Would it surprise you? On this program, we do something that could seem almost perverse. We thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like figurehead Biden on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
We have the strongest economy in the world today. Right now, today, the United States of America has the strongest economy in the world.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three soundbites in the Tower of Babbling that I think prove the point that God allows this. Sometimes Nancy Pelosi accidentally speaks truth.
A wall is an immorality. It's not who we are as a nation. We're trying to open up government. We're giving them a mature path to do so, not in our language, but in the Senate language.
A law, a wall, is a what? We're trying to open up government. We're giving them a mature path to do it, not in our language, but in the Senate. A wall is an immorality between countries. It's an old way of thinking, she wanted to say. What's the accidental truth she's saying? We're trying to open up government. We're giving them a mature path to do so. Open up government to who? Well, to people who don't
belong on our voting rolls. A wall is an immorality, an immorality between countries? Wait, is this the same Nancy Pelosi who is continuing to push for the persecution and arrest of people who walked into the open doors of the U.S. Capitol and stood and prayed for 10 minutes and took a selfie? A 71-year-old grandma. A wall is an immorality between countries, but not between countrymen? Oh, it just falls apart. Anytime you scratch at the surface of anything Pelosi says, it falls apart, even if she accidentally speaks truth when in it. Occasionally, in our second clip here in the Tower Babbling, occasionally we get a glimpse into the way the DC machine wants us to pretend all is well, such as a sad look at Mitch McConnell from earlier this year.
I'm sorry, I had a hard time hearing you.
That's okay. What are your thoughts on running for re-election in 2026?
What are my thoughts about what?
Running for re-election in 2026.
Oh, that's good.
It's very sad because McConnell is brain frozen.
Did you hear the question, Senator? Running for re-election in 2026?
Yes.
And it goes on for an awkward couple other seconds. And finally, the staff has to just pull McConnell aside. I don't do that with any sense of glee. I don't like what Mitch McConnell does to the country. I think he is deeply dishonest and conflicted. And that's not normal. But God, there's that phrase, but God, saying again, this man is running things, right? He's the Senate Minority Leader, right? This is your human king. Now, the Lord loves Mitch McConnell every bit as much as he loves you or me. I'm not any better than Mitch McConnell. I'm differently broken. But the pass-fail test, an unchangeable, unflawed God giving us an instruction kit through the Bible that we, in our flawed way, can carry out, or simply turn all that business over to Mitch McConnell. Last clip in today's Tower Babbling. Despite everything we just talked about, people like Gavin Newsom continue to pretend we don't see him and them for what they are.
Can we explain to Californians how we moved from a $100 billion surplus to such a significant deficit in just a matter of a few years?
There were other states that had similar delays in their taxes related to weather events. If there was any indication that climate change has impacts well beyond those that are often promoted, I would consider our financial delays as just another example.
Wow. Can you explain to Californians how we moved from a $100 billion surplus to such a significant deficit in just a few years? Yeah, it's the weather. You shall not lie. It's an easy test. Simply take the fruit of the Spirit, patience, kindness, charity, self-control, temperance, and compare it to what Gavin Newsom's doing. Desires of the flesh. Simply take the most simple of the Ten Commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not lie. And compare it. We have our voting guides within us, within the Word of God. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can discern it. If you happen to accidentally tune into AFR, welcome. It's not an accident. You might be in a rental car somewhere. Maybe you're driving your grandpa's car. It's not an accident. God's asking you to take a look at world events and decide for yourself, where do you want to spend eternity? On the side of people like Gavin Newsom, unless he repents, where sins multiply for eternity, or in heaven with the Lord Jesus, where sin is gone. It's up to you. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I'm just following my orders here.
On A Disciple's View.
It's my tradition to wrap up the show with just a little personal story, a way for you to get to know me, because you're so kind to spend all this time with us. I think you should know a little bit about the rodeo clown who hosts A Disciple's View. That's me.
Years ago, I was working in Seattle, downtown, in the office of a dear, dear friend of mine who is probably the most honest atheist I've ever known. Honest, kind, hardworking, sadly, haven't yet gotten him to the Lord. He was my mentor in business, getting out of radio, getting into high-tech startups. John was my mentor. So imagine the honor it was to me when he called me and said, hey, I'm really struggling to figure some stuff out with my business. Could you come on board and help me? Yeah. As a consultant, yes. As an employee, no, because I'm doing a startup right now. So I went down and he gave me a space in his office, paid me a little bit of money as a retainer. I wouldn't take more because of what he'd done for me. And I got to be in that office working on my startup. So as working for John, he had a great team of people, very smart tech people, but godless, really godless people. And I'm not saying that they're awful people, far from it. Most of them were very kind. There was some godless stuff. And there was a lot of temptation. I'll be honest with you at that time. I was in a period of time where my now wife and I had been spending time apart. We'd been living in sin. I think I've told you that story. Later we got married. It's closer to 30 years ago. So we've been living aligned with God's plan for a long time. But there was some temptation in that office. Godless women. Smart, stunning, and godless. Praise God that I didn't fall for that. But one morning, I walked into the office, and there was a lady, sweet, sweet lady, and she was so upset. I just popped in and said, hey, how are you? She goes, I hate Christians. Wow. She says, do you know that there's this organization that does these prayer rug things where people send in these rugs and bits of carpets and towels and they supposedly pray over it? There's an investigation. They don't even open the packages. They just take the money out and then dump this stuff in the trash. That's why I hate Christians. I said, yeah, Deb, that's really disturbing. And as a Christian, I can see why you're upset. She said, you're a Christian? I said, yes. And she goes, but you're so nice. I said, yeah, Deb, we kind of invented nice, sort of the point. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak, because we love Him, because He first loved us. We go about making disciples of all nations until God decides you and I can spend time together again. May His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.